This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Amen. Thank you so much to the worship team. It was beautiful to worship. I don't know why we have to stop. So good to be back here in Hermanas and with the Shofar family. Everybody's going to ask about my accent, so I can tell you up front, I walk like Egyptian, and I talk like Egyptian. So, ek is die Egyptenare boer. And I have the privilege to have my family here with me. I have my precious father and mother-in-law sitting here at the back, and my beautiful wife next to them. And then my amazing daughter Zara right here in front, and Daniel back there. Every year we come here, we are refreshed. We come for a holiday, and we wish that we just stay. So, we are jealous of many of you that live here, but it's okay. We ask the Lord forgiveness, and He forgives us. But we are happy to have home here. We're happy to be back with our family in Shofar. The word in my heart is arise and shine. And it's interesting, you know, that we heard about the 2020 vision. And I believe with all my heart, we are in that season. Amen. If you look at the decade before and the season before, even in the Hebrew calendar, the eye was the symbol. The eye. So God wanted us to see. And He wanted to also expose. So both ways. He wanted us to see, and He wanted us reaching to this season and this time, and we are hopefully now can see 2020, can see clearly. So God exposed things in the world. I come from the Middle East, and my work is constantly in the Middle East and in the Arab world, and so I'm in the middle of all the shaking that is taking place. I'm in the middle of those wars, the refugees. This is my world. This is my world. That's why you will find me laughing a lot, joyful a lot, desperate a lot, because it is very much of an extreme where I go there. And I come back here, and then, you know, the people are just so sad because of a little bit of load shedding, you know. Never mind, their house is blown off totally, you know, and they don't know where is their husbands and where is their daughters and where is their children and if they're alive or not. That's what I come back with. So I can pray for my wife and my family, because I come back many times heavy. Don't know, Lord, where to go. But in the midst of all of this, I see the light of God. In the midst of all of this, I see God turning Muslims to Jesus like never before in the history. In the midst of all the shaking, yes, all glory to Him. And in all that journey, I'm discovering that I am not really deeply interested in converting people from one religion to another religion. Deep in my heart, as I witness what God is doing, I'm realizing the story might be totally different than the way I always thought of it and imagined it. You see, as a Coptic Christian from Egypt, minority persecuted in the Middle East, you know, many times as a child, you know, my daughter's age, you know, I because of all the pressures over our churches burned down, Christians kidnapped, taken away, all kinds of stories that I can tell you that I grew up with. This is the atmosphere I grew up in. I remember my cousin's wife kidnapped, taken away from him, and then only later we discover horrible, horrific stuff. Stories like this. So I can tell you all of this, and my thoughts growing up was like, Lord, you, like you did the flood one day, you can do another flood. Or you can send fire that just burn, you know, our enemies and just save us, you know. You, and then more and more and more, I realized I am so full of something that is not of God. And in my journey, God had to deal with me first. Friends, I want to talk to you that we are in a season and in an era that is totally different than any other time. 2019 is past. I said bye-bye to the last little bit of hair that I had. And you said bye-bye to many things. 2019 is past. We are in 2020. God wants to give us full vision. He wants us to know that we are part of a kingdom that is not shaking and will not shake. He wants us to know that we belong to Him. He's the King, not the King of Christianity, not the King of the world. He's the King of Kings. Not just the King of Christians. He's the King of the whole world. He wants us to start this year assured of this, assured in our identity. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. And that's why the words arise and shine. Arise and shine in confidence. You see, as I'm sharing January this last year, 2019, I was invited. Actually, this is why I love being here in December. So quiet, we reflect. I use the word, I detox. Detox a lot of stuff in my mind, a lot of stuff in my emotions, a lot of stuff in my spirit. It's like every day we need a shower. I feel every year I need to come here and detox. Detox the stuff that accumulated. Detox the heaviness that maybe came over me. I come and I ask the Lord to shine His light deep in my heart. I know my heart is deceitful because the Word of God said that. I know that I can deceive myself. I know that I can be living with cancers deep inside of me that I'm not aware of. So I say, Holy Spirit, come with your light and shine deep inside of me that so that I can see. And every year, you know, I pass through a difficult time, actually, through my holiday, because sometimes I'm shocked with what have entered my heart. And I know the Lord need to deliver me. Lord, whatever it takes, I say to Him. Even if you need to put me to sleep for a surgery, do it. But I don't want to return to my work and to my life and to my family and to normal life without being totally detoxed and healed. And that's my prayer for this morning as well, that we don't enter the year without being detoxed totally of the old mentality, the slavery mentality. And so I'm going to share with you stories of people that came to know Him, how I witnessed that. I call myself a witness. I got that from Isaiah 42. And it says, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. And early on in my walk with the Lord, He spoke these words to me, that you are my witness, Hani, and I'm God. Don't mix the two together. Your job is to be a witness. My job is to be God. Don't mix the two together. You are never going to become God. And many times, because of circumstances that we went through, because of difficulties that we passed through, because of pressures in life, Because, and my prayer today is that the Holy Spirit, that is the one that shines His light, He will shine His light to you to see the reason. Because of many reasons, all these kind of poisons enters our lives. And we become controlled many times. We become in bondage, get into so much of it around us that it becomes very difficult to even relieve ourselves and release ourselves. So therefore, we need the Holy Spirit to show us, and we need to cry out to God. As we were praying before church, there was a baby crying so hard, and I did get that message deep in my heart. Lord, please allow me to cry for you like this baby is crying. Allow me to raise my voice. The blind man kept on crying, and he disturbed everybody. Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And even with all, everybody says, shh, 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 you're making noise, you know, we are now in church, you know, this Jesus is here, you know, like respect or whatever, you know. He kept on crying out. And Jesus noticed him and still asked him, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, Jesus, you know everything. Maybe you're coming here with the same attitude. Jesus, you know everything. But he's going to ask you, what do you want me to do for you? But you need to call out to him. So friends, I come humbly before you. January 2019, I was invited to a place where my wife and I sowed seeds for more than 20 years. It's actually a town in that country in North Africa. In that country, Christianity is not allowed. Christians are not allowed to exist. But there is thousands of Christians. However, they meet underground. Underground doesn't mean a dungeon. It means a house or a forest or by the beach. So I enjoy churches in many different situations. So we are blessed here to have this beautiful place, you know, microphones, nice instruments. And in that town, my wife and I used to, actually, before we would leave this country, so we would go and have like a whole month or even sometimes more, 6 weeks, whatever our visa would allow. And we would pray and work with the believers and meetings and discipleship and things like that. But then every time before we go back home, we say, we're going to spend a couple of days now to enjoy this country. So we would go to one of the towns that was our favorite towns. It's artistic. It's right next to the beach. And we'd spend 2 days doing nothing but enjoying the place, enjoying the people around us, and praying for the town. More than 20 years later, 2019, I go there, invited by one believer. I knew he is from that town. He moved to that town in the meantime. We go there. And I couldn't believe my eyes that night, that first night. There was maybe 15 new Muslim believers that came to know Jesus. And we were baptizing them, the one after the other. You couldn't shout. You couldn't make big noise. You know, actually, baptism was in the patio, in the back of the house, so that the neighbors would not hear anything or notice anything. It was, you know, his six-year-old kid swimming pool, like a baby swimming pool thing, you know those plastic things. And this is where we baptize the people, coming to know Jesus. Today, in the Muslim nations, there are more people, maybe in the last 7 to 10 years, these years of shaking in the Middle East with all the revolutions and all that is going on, more people coming to know the Lord than the 1,400 years since Islam started, put together. Did you catch this? The Muslim calendar is 1,400. Did you get that? The Muslim calendar is 1,433. But the last 10 years, only in the midst of the shaking, in the midst of the difficulty, the message for us today, arise and shine. Your light has come. We are part of unshakable kingdom. I'm going to read for us from Isaiah 60. If you don't mind, I'm going to ask us to stand up together as we read the word of God. Two verses from Isaiah 60. Arise, shine. I want to repeat it. Arise, shine. Repeat it again. For the church. Arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Amen. 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 You may be seated. So friends, arise and shine because of the glory of the Lord, not because of any strength from within us. You see, the Lord is going to come and shine his light over our lives today and in this season, it's not to expose us, it's not to embarrass us, it is not to show how guilty we are, because this will not help. He is going to shine his light over us, not to condemn us, but to convict us. See, this is the difference between the Holy Spirit and the devil. This is the difference between the king in this kingdom, the way he functioned in the kingdom, with a constitution of love. You see, we're talking about a kingdom. We're not talking about religion here. And I think this is the biggest shift that we need to make. We are shifting from religion to the kingdom. I reached a moment in my life, I was shocked because I felt as if the Lord is saying to me, Hani, if you yourself first can convert, I'm going to help all these millions of people you're praying for and you love to convert. I said, Lord, me convert? I'm converted. I'm good. I'm good. He said, no, I want you to convert from your religious Christianity to my kingdom Christianity. And I started to discover there is a big difference between the two. The one is like a river moving, 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 moving all the time. And the one is like a lake, stale. Religiosity, you say, oh, you know, I'm fine. I go to church. I'm fine. I pay. I'm fine. I give in the offering. That's what I meant by I pay. I'm fine. I'm a good father. I'm fine. I'm a good husband. Friends, kingdom is different than that. The kingdom of God is powerful. It was described that the kingdom of God is not by words. The kingdom of God described in Romans, it's righteousness, peace, and joy. So if you want to test if you have the kingdom or not, this is how I test myself. Those three, righteousness, peace, and joy. And I can tell you the world is so confused today because the way I know in the world and in the political world, you know, we do have peacekeeping missions, correct? To keep the peace in the Middle East. That is since I was a baby, you know? But then I realize now I'm 50 plus. Where is the peace? There is no peace. There is pieces. You know, and then the Lord opened my eyes. He said, I did not come to bring this kind of peace. You know, in Beatitudes, Jesus blessed the peacekeepers. Did he bless the peacekeepers? He blessed the peacemakers. So it's going to be such a fine line. What is this peace that Jesus is talking about? What is this peace that is coming with the kingdom of God? I'm just whetting our appetite for the kingdom, that the kingdom of God is something different than what we are experiencing in the world. The world is going to offer, you know, just that, you know, if you just shut up about this and if you don't talk about that and if you hold back from this and if you just flow like the others are flowing, you know, then you keep the peace. But Jesus is much more powerful than this. He came to make peace, not keep peace. But in order to do that, he might do some surgeries. He might do some shaking. He will do some shaking. And that's why the kingdom of God coming, meaning it means shaking coming. You pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. You are basically praying, trouble come. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but I can relate to that. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. It means I cannot come, and that word came in the prophetic words just before we started our word here. You know, it's his kingdom is not going to come and be established on a sandy house. So this house is going to shake, it's going to fall, so that you say, ah, Lord, let me come back to my knees. Let me come back to the foundations. Let me establish my house on the rock. And today, the Lord wants us to see. He has been exposing things. Actually, I really sense many of us, we know what we need to change. We know where is the shaky foundations. He has exposed it. It was the season of the eye. And now it's the season of the mouth, the declaring. It was also one of the words, the roar of the lion. In Amos 3, it says, a lion have roared. Amos 3, 8. A lion have roared. Who will not fear? The Lord have spoken. Who would not prophesy? So we're coming to a season that we need to prophesy. Speak. What is prophesy? You know, we are so much maybe thinking that prophesy is just for some people and people not. Again, this is religion. Who but not prophesy? All of us need to prophesy, because you know what is to prophesy? Prophesy is to speak the word of God. So God is basically calling us to the basics. When we talk about the kingdom of God, He is restoring His kingdom within us. We're talking about the basics. I love many, many accounts when Jesus spoke about the kingdom, because it makes it very clear. One time, you read it in Luke 17, the Pharisees asked Jesus, interesting question, tell us, when will the kingdom of God will come? When will it come, Jesus? Jesus answered, a beautiful answer. He says, the kingdom of God will not come by your careful observation. Some will say it's going to come from here. Some will say it's going to come from here. For the kingdom of God is within you. You see how beautiful that is. Religion is like you are frustrated, you know, because you are just, I'm waiting to see, you know, what is the government going to do? You know, I'm waiting to see what the leaders are going to do. I'm waiting to see what is my husband going to do. I'm waiting to see. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom is moving. The kingdom is you have a role in it. The kingdom is something that you are not observing from the outside. You know, you say, you know, many people in South Africa prayed and said, when Zuma go, you know, when he's gone, the country will be perfect. Okay? And the nation's waiting for us to arise and shine. Prophesy. Trust Him. Speak. This is the season of the kingdom. So friends, let's arise. Let's shine. It is because the confidence, why I'm talking with this confidence today, because of the glory of the Lord risen upon me. The glory of the Lord, you know, maybe it feels more glorious because, you know, I'm shining here in my head. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It's not because the Lord have spoken. Who but not because He spoke, I prophesy. Because I heard the roar of the Lion of Judah. That's why I stand in confidence. I say, I'm nothing. I know that I'm nothing. But Lord, You are everything. I'm just a witness. Today, the Holy Spirit is going to shine His light over areas in our lives. It is not to condemn us. It's not to make us go out of this place feeling guilty. But it is to convict us so that we can change. So that we say, before the first week is finished of this week, of this year, before the first week of 2020 is over, Lord, we are ready. We are ready. I see what You want me to see. And I will change what You want me to change. In my journey with the Lord, I discovered this. My weakness is not a problem for Him. But my weaknesses that lead me to sin is the problem. But again, this is not a problem if I can humble myself and come to Him and say, here I am, I'm weak. A couple of weeks ago here in the church, and the worship team was singing, I Raise a Hallelujah. What's the other words? Enemies? In the presence of my enemies. And I just so clearly that there is that enemy that is deep inside of me, that is me, called unbelief, called discouragement.
So I want to take you to another verse in Exodus 6. And it was a moment when God was speaking to Moses to tell the Israelites that he will deliver them. And in that chapter, from the beginning of the chapter, God was speaking to Moses and he was telling him, tell the Israelites, tell them that I will deliver them out of Egypt. Tell them that they will not stay forever there. Tell them that I will take them to the land I promised them. Tell them that I will defeat those enemies, this and this and this. He kept telling Moses this. And then it says that verse that touched me so much. In verse 9 of Exodus 6. Then Moses went to report this to the Israelites. But they could not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. The word harsh labor also came in other translation, cruel bondage. Because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. Many times, discouragement is my trap. I'm optimistic person by personality. I am joyful person by personality. I love to laugh. I trust people very quickly. I expect high expectations very quickly. And then when it's not happening, or when the process is a bit longer, then I'm discouraged. And I fall in this trap. And that was one of the enemies the Lord showed me. What enemy will the Lord show you today? What is he showing you? Because the Lord had plans for your life. The Lord had plans for the Israelites. He wanted to deliver them. But when Moses went to speak to them, they could not listen. So maybe there is a precious person to you that you are trying to draw their attention. Maybe it is your spouse. Maybe it is your child. Maybe it is your father. They can't listen to you. Maybe there is discouragement. Maybe there is cruel bondage. What will you do? Will you give up? Will you get discouraged? Or will you press in? Will you rise up? Will you prophesy? Will you declare the word of God? To have his kingdom come in our lives, we must persevere. We must stand in the midst of the shaking. We must recognize one thing. Anything that is shakable is not from the kingdom of God. Anything that is shaking, we must recognize if we are following him, if we are pursuing him, if we are diligent day after day to seek him, to seek all his purposes in our lives, we must stand firm when the shaking comes. We must stand firm saying, Lord, I know the shaking is not because you want to destroy me. It's not because you want to destroy my family. It's not because you want to destroy our nation. It is because you want to destroy the false foundations. It's because you want to come and shake the small g gods, I call it. I think I shared something last year here about those gods, the small gods. See, in Isaiah 19 is a prophecy about Egypt. Of course, I'm Egyptian, so anything about Egypt takes my attention. And in this prophecy, it says, in this verse, the first verse of Isaiah 19, it says, I'm coming on a swift cloud, and the idols of Egypt will shake, will tremble. You see, those idols, the gods of Egypt, we still have them. If you go visit the pyramids, be careful, you know, the little stones you buy, because they were gods in that time. And the gods of Egypt, those small little gods that the Egyptians had at this time, Pharaoh worshipped. Egypt worshipped. And with those gods, God, the living God, Yahweh God, Jehovah God, the King of Kings, he shook Egypt. He shook Pharaoh. He plagued Egypt using those gods. You know that? That Egypt worshipped the Nile. That's why God used the Nile and turned the Nile into blood. Egypt worshipped frogs. That's why the frogs was one of the plagues. You know that? And you can go on. Egypt worshiped the sun god, Ra. We have names, Egyptian names for all those gods. So God made the sun darkness and plagued Egypt with it. In other words, anything that, any small god that becomes big god for you, God will shake you with that god. Friends, you understand the concept? So I'm coming on a swift cloud, and I prophesy this, that as things are shaking, as South Africa is shaking, it's not because God is going to destroy South Africa. He loves South Africa. Just go up the mountain, and you will see how much God loved South Africa to make it so beautiful like this. Just look at the beautiful people that make the variety of the human race here in South Africa, and see the variety of the different colors, the beauty, so that you would know how God so much loved South Africa. But like it says in Hebrews 12, that our God is consuming fire. He's jealous over South Africa. He wants the South Africans. He wants his people to turn back to him. We got discouraged in the middle of the process. We got shaken with all the shaking that is happening around us. But we will say, Lord, yes, it's shaking around. Bring it on. Bring it on. Shake everything that is shakable so that the unshakable kingdom will come and remain here among us. Lord, we are not living for our wealth and our future financial wealth. And Lord, the economy going down is not going to discourage us. Politics going through all this trouble is not going to shake us. Because you are never changing. You are our God. You will never change. And your kingdom is unshakable. We will, in the midst of all of this, speak your word. We will, in the midst of all of this, declare who you are. Because we are citizens of this kingdom. And we know that we don't belong to another kingdom. We belong to you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And this is our identity, friends. And that's the last that I'm going to share, and then we can have some time to pray together. Because if we don't come with that confidence, this identity in him, you see, I'm talking about a kingdom that is not shaking. And I'm talking about a king that is unchanging, will never change. But what is missing here? There is the kingdom, and there is the king. It's the people. What's missing here is the people. It's us. Because if you have people that will not affirm that king and follow that king, then you don't have kingdom. So what's waiting to happen in Hermanus, what's waiting to happen in Cape Town, what's waiting to happen in South Africa, what's waiting to happen in the nations is that the amount of people that are coming to hail Jesus as king, not just by words, but by life, living the life of righteousness, seeing the fruit of this kingdom come to their lives, peace and joy, living this life of unity together as a church, loving our neighbors, not competing and not comparing, coming to humble ourselves, then one day it tips like this. And then the rule of the kingdom of God is among us. Of course, the fullness of that is when we are with him. But I am determined that as he taught us in the prayer, on earth as it is in heaven, I'm determined that we can have a taste of this while we are alive. That everything is shaking around us, but we enjoy living in his kingdom. I'm just going to share quickly from Matthew 16, the last verses. And I love that part because I'm just going to share it maybe quickly like a story with you. But in verse 13, Jesus asks the disciples, and he says to them, "Who do people outside of you say I am? Who do people say I am?" They answered him, said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, Some say Jeremiah. Some say you are just a prophet. You see, this is exactly the people I work with. They say Jesus is just a prophet. So I can relate a lot to this. But then Jesus asked them in verse 15, but who do you say I am? Peter answered him right away. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. Then Jesus says to him, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It is so beautiful, because Jesus might be coming and asking us the same question. You know, what are the people? Don't worry about what the people are saying who Jesus is. Who do you say I am? Who do you? You are my people. You belong to me. The kingdom of God is not going to come by other people. The kingdom of God is going to come by the citizens of this kingdom. It's us. Who do you say I am? Friends, another story from this year. In one of those closed countries, and we have this meeting, and then I see this one lady in her mid-20s, and she was just wonderful. I could see she's enthusiastic. She's helping in everything that we need. She is organizing things, and she's just full of initiative and joy and leadership. And I asked her, among many people, I asked her, where are you from in that nation? And so she mentioned that city in the south. That's actually in the nation of Tunisia. I can mention that, in North Africa. And she said, I am from that city. And she mentioned a city called Kairouan in the southern part of Tunisia. And she said, and I just came to know the Lord a few years ago and blah, 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 blah. But immediately when she mentioned that she is from that city, Kairouan, my memory came back very quickly to remember a trip we did 14 years before, 2004, when we had a team from South Africa to pray in that city. That city is a very significant city because in it, there is the first mosque that was built in North Africa, excluding Egypt, the rest of North Africa. So we always knew that this is a very significant spot, and we went to pray, and we prayed around that mosque especially. 7 times. But as she's talking to me, I'm remembering everything. I'm remembering how, you know, the mosque is so huge. It's a big, big wall. So by seventh time, we were finished. So that's why it's good to be fit, you know, in the kingdom of God. And I remember everything. I remember the names. I remember the people. I even remember the one couple that brought their 5-year-old girl. I remembered all the details. And so I started to tell her, this is what we did in your city 14 years ago. There was no believer that we know in that city. There was nothing. It's a tough religious city. It's a tough place. As I told her the story about the mosque and how at the end, after the 7th time, somehow a friendly person came and I greeted him, and then he allowed us to actually even come inside the mosque, and we went inside and prayed inside and just enjoyed a time of quietness, worshiping Jesus inside. She started to weep, this girl. She was weeping, weeping. I said to her, why are you weeping? She said, because my grandpa is the imam, is the leader of that mosque. When you prayed for that mosque, when you prayed for the people in the mosque, when you prayed for my grandpa, the Lord chose me to come and follow him. He appeared to me in dreams, and he said to me, I am the truth, I'm the life, come follow me. And she said, thank you. You see, friends, while I was discouraged for many years, because I questioned myself, what am I doing? I gave my 20s, I gave my 30s, I gave my 40s. What is the result I see? And then I meet a person like this. And then the Holy Spirit reminds me and say, you are just my witness. You are not God. You cannot change the people. So I want to encourage all of us, as I ask the worship team to come and join us, just to have a time before the Lord. He is the way maker. He is the miracle working God. We cannot do miracles. We cannot open the eyes of the blind, but He can open the eyes of the blind. Maybe you are praying for your wife. Maybe you are praying for your husband. Maybe there is sickness. I don't care what it is. But I want to declare among us today that the kingdom of God is here. Tell you one more story because I can't not tell you. The things, and I'm telling you stories I witnessed last year, 2019. I can't tell you 2020 because I still did not go yet. I go to one place. I heard about 60 new believers in the southern city in Morocco, North Africa. 60 new believers. That's huge for us in the Muslim world. They came to know the Lord. And so I go to them. They are preparing for meetings to worship and to spend time together and to pray and minister to them. And then I was received by my friend who's the leader there. And he said to me, I said to him, how the guys are doing? And he said, they are hungry. I said, oh, hungry for the word of God. He said, no, they are hungry. I said, well, hungry for, they are fasting. He said, no, they are hungry, hungry. I said, okay. And so the poverty, the persecution that comes to such a level where people are kicked out of their homes. These are kids. Some of them were 16-year-old and 17-year-old. Disowned, kicked out of the family because of their faith. I wept that night. I called Natalie, my wife, and I said to her, I can't just go to preach these people. You're just going to allow me to use my credit card. She said, please go for it. And I go and I find really hungry people for pizza that I bought for them that night, but also hungry for the Holy Spirit. The one couple was supposed to get married, and I knew actually about them. So I said to them, how was the wedding? Because it was supposed to be 2 weeks before I arrived. I said, no, we couldn't have a wedding. There was no money. We couldn't buy a wedding dress. We couldn't. A church from Europe sent a brother with me to join me in this trip. He came with a gift. He said to me, can I give this gift to the church in Morocco? I said, yes, please go ahead. He opens it and I couldn't believe it. He said, my wife prayed and prayed for me before this trip. And she got a word from the Lord that she wants to send her wedding dress. Because the Lord spoke to her and said to her, this is for the bride of Christ in Morocco. I said to my brother, can you let your fiance put that dress on? It fitted her perfectly. Perfectly. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Do not put your eyes down. Lift your eyes. He's the lifter of our heads. So I want to ask you to stand up with me and lift your head up. Arise and shine. We're also going to serve communion. So I'm going to ask for the communion to also just get going. Yeah, if you guys can come. This is a beautiful moment because it's upon that covenant. You see, friends, God did not want to make a contract with us. He wanted to make a covenant with us. Can I tell you that? Remember, it's C&C. Contract T's and C's apply. Covenant is different. He's a covenant, a God of covenant. And That covenant is based on the blood of Jesus, based on the cross of Jesus. That's why the cross is so important to us. It is not a beautiful piece of jewelry that we hang. It's not a beautiful thing that you put on top of the building to say this is a church. The cross of Jesus is so powerful. The blood of Jesus is so powerful. As you take, as you have the bread and the wine in your hand, please wait a minute so we can take it together. But we're going to sing this song and just seek Him. Maybe you have not entered that covenant with Him. Maybe you struggle because you live on the faith of your father or mother or the faith of your grandpa. Today the Lord wants you to own your own faith. Maybe you live your life with a contract with God. Today He says, no, I'm the covenant God. I'm not a contract God. I don't want a contract with you. Don't deal with me. And that's why you're not in the same wave with Him, because He's not a contract God. That's not Him. He's a covenant God. As you have the wine and the bread, and if you sense you would like to come and just have more prayer, more intimate time with the Lord after we finish, because we're going to finish soon after that, I invite you to come to the front. No pressure. This is not to pressure anyone. Maybe you want to make a covenant with God. Maybe you want to turn from contract to covenant. The beautiful leaders and elders here will be around as well, and we'll pray together. Just have a few minutes. Bring your stuff with you. Come to the front here. Maybe there is a situation where you are so discouraged because you tried everything. Maybe there is shaking that is taking place in your family to the point that you feel, and I know our culture here in South Africa, some of our culture is like, I don't want to bother anyone with my problems. This is not the church God called us for. In the church, we bother one another. We help one another. Because Jesus provided the body of Christ to help you, to carry with you, to counsel you. There's so much wisdom in the body of Christ. I have a friend, a medical guy, who discovered the power of the blood. Not the blood of Jesus. That is another blood that is most powerful. Even the blood of the athlete, he's a very famous guy. He takes the blood of the athlete that is injured, that need to play a game immediately the next day or so. And the Lord showed him something in the blood. I don't have the details. I'm not a medical person. But to take certain parts of the blood and then re-inject it in the wound, and it's healed very quickly, very fast. How come the body of Christ? There is all what we need here in the body of Christ. There's all that you need within the body that God has given. The blood. And the blood of Jesus is that blood of the covenant that we are about to take. How come even more and more and more? Who do you say I am? That's what we're doing right now. Ourselves.
You are here. You're working in this place. We worship you.
We worship you, Jesus.
We worship you. You are here. You're moving in our midst. We worship you.
We worship you.
We worship you.
We humble ourselves before you.
You are here. Working in this place.
We open our hands before you.
We worship you.
We worship you.
We worship you. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.